Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
You know, it's just so good to have this opportunity to share with you tonight, an opportunity to share the Word of God with you tonight. Yeah, first of all, why am I showing you a pair of shoes, you know, in the first slide? What is that all about? Because this pair of shoes, the Adidas Burn, was my first pair of really nice sneakers. I was 13 years old. I really wanted this Adidas that is made in Germany. So really, you know, it's like $80 during that time when I'm 13. $80 is a lot of money. And in Malaysia, where I grew up in a small city, it's very difficult to get a pair of Adidas sneaker. So I started saving up and really saving up money, do some odd jobs and various jobs to save up money to buy this pair of shoes. I was praying. I was really praying to say, you know, I don't know who I prayed to during that time. Is praying to an unknown God, because I don't have any relationship with any God. So I was just praying to an unknown God, saying, God, I really wanted this pair of Adidas, and I'm saving money for it, and please, you know, let me have this pair of Adidas. So sure enough, when I save up my $80, ringgit during the time, go to the shoe shop, and they have the same shoes in the right size. Prayer answered. I was so happy and was so proud of the shoes. And you can see, you know, that even though I'm not, I don't have any relationship with any God, but yet I still understand at the age of 13 that there's a higher power that can help me. So I prayed to this God, and don't know who this God is, but my prayer was answered. So it's just wonderful. Now, prayer. This is what my topic is about. Everyone pray, even though I don't have any relationship with any God. Then I still pray. I still pray to an unknown God. So why do we pray? Many reasons. You know, a lot of people pray for their health, and obviously people pray for their wealth, and mostly a lot of our prayer is to ask for success, to ask for happiness, to ask for better opportunity, and to ask for fortune. So this is why a lot of people in the world pray. I learned that when I'm 13 years old, because I see my mom pray, my dad pray. Even though they don't know who they pray to, they're praying to certain idols. But the concept is there is someone, higher power, that will answer our prayer. But for us, as a born again, as a born from above Christian, they have a relationship with Jesus. Who do we pray to? What do we pray about? So this is precisely what some of the disciples of Jesus was asking him to teach them how to pray. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13, the disciples saw Jesus praying. And when Jesus was done praying, one of his disciples approached him. The disciples say, "Teacher, will you teach us your way of prayer? How do you pray?" Because John the Baptist, he taught his disciple his way of prayer. And we are hoping that Jesus, you do the same. So they were asking Jesus to teach them the way to pray. And Jesus given them a model on how to pray. And that is written in Luke chapter 11. As well as in Matthew chapter 6. when you read that prayer, it's basically separated into two big section. The first one is who to pray to, and second, what to pray for. Prayer is basically a two-way communication, a dialogue, a conversation between you and God. And in any dialogue or in any conversation, there's a time that you talk, and of course, there's time that you listen. You talk, you listen. You listen, you talk. This is precisely what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples in the earlier stories in chapter 10. In the end of chapter 10, Jesus went in to visit Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And we see that Mary seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. Well, of course, we know Martha was busy running around and doing her thing and so forth. But in this story that Jesus record down in the book of Luke, is reminding us to be like Mary, that there will be time that we need to sit at his feet and just listen to his teaching. So there's a first part of a dialogue with God, of a prayer, that is a two-way communication, that we need to take the time to sit and listen, and then you start talking. Or God will talk to you, you listen, then you talk back to God. So who is this God that we are talking to? In verse 2, Jesus tells them, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So immediately we know that Jesus is teaching us that our prayer is talking to our Father in heaven. And every time when I see the word Father, immediately remind me of an intimate, personal relationship. I know for some father on this earth, perhaps they are not really behaving like father. But for us, we are not praying to our earthly father, but we are praying to our heavenly father. And this father loves us, just like many fathers on this earth that love the children, that have the relationship with the children. But our Father in heaven knows every single one of us. He even knows how many hairs we have. He cares about our best interests. So immediately Jesus is telling us, when you pray, you're praying to the Father in heaven. As most of you know, I grew up in Malaysia. I grew up in a culture where the word father carries a lot of authority and carries a lot of respect. I would never, I see some of the younger generation, even in Malaysia, in the Western world, that they will address the father using their first name. Or many times they will use words like, "Oh, that's my old man." But for us growing up in Malaysia, as a Chinese or as a Malay or Indians, there's very high respect when the word father, and father always carry authority. So what Jesus is telling us is, when you pray, the first thing you do is you address your prayer to our Father in heaven. And you know that you have that personal relationship when you're communicating with your father. And you carry that respect. You carry that reverence for the Father in heaven. So that's the who that you pray to. Then Jesus continued, he said, then you pray. What do we pray? He said, you pray that your kingdom, God's kingdom come. Your will be done. God's will or God's purpose be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first thing, after we know who we address our prayer to, Jesus is reminding us, pray to the Father about his will, about his purpose, not about my view, not about my kingdom, but it's about God's kingdom. It's about God's purpose. Not only that God's purpose and God's will be done in heaven, but also on earth. So you see, every time that we use the word heaven in the Bible, we are talking about the heaven, as Paul has reminded us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul was telling us that I know a man in Christ, which is him, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. So there's first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. The third heaven that Paul is referring to in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about the dwelling place of God, the kingdom of heaven. That's where King Jesus rule and reign. The first heaven Paul is talking about is our sky, the birds, the plane. And the second heaven he's referring to is all the stars. And this is the first heaven, second heaven. And we are talking about the third heaven. So when Jesus is telling us to pray that your kingdom come, your will be done, not only in heaven, but also on earth. So Jesus is telling us that we want to pray that his kingdom, that his way, that his kingship not only is in heaven, but we also want to see it on earth. I like the word outpost that was used. A church is an outpost of the kingdom of heaven. When I talk about church, it's not so much just a building, but it's more the people. When we come together as his people, as a church, Jesus reminded us when two or three gather in his name, he is with us. King Jesus is with us. And when King Jesus is with us, this outpost operates just like how it's operating in heaven. There's a love of God, that you feel the peace of God, that you feel the joy of the Lord in our midst. And in the outpost or in the kingdom of heaven, God's will, God's perfect will should be done. That anything need correction when you come into the outpost of God on the earth, the correction will be done. Sicknesses will need to go. Darkness will need to go. Depression will need to go. Because we are gathered in the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is the church. So this is what Jesus is telling us, that when we come together to pray, that we pray that God's kingdom will come. God's kingdom, his purpose will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then the next thing Jesus is reminding us to pray. In verse 3, he prayed, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus is telling us, apart from praying for the kingdom of God, for God's purpose to be done on the earth, he also asking us to pray for our needs. And I use three P's. The first P is we pray for our provision, which is our day-to-day daily bread. And second P is we pray for our pardon. We know all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. And we ask that we will be forgiven of our sin, as we also have forgiven others. And the third thing that we pray for is protection. That we are protected from the evil one. We are protected from temptations. That is asking us that we need to pray for our needs. That we need to pray for our day-to-day essentials. We need to pray that our sins that we committed, fresh sins that we committed, will be pardoned. And they have the grace to also pardon other peoples that have sinned against us. And of course, we pray for protection. So this is the three P's that Jesus is reminding us to pray. So when the disciple was asking Jesus to teach them how to pray, Jesus is reminding them that your prayer is a dialogue between you and God. That you need to listen, just like how Mary listened. Just like how today you are listening to the word of God. And then you will talk. That you will communicate back to God. And the whole goal is to continue to build this relationship between you and God. Because that is the Father in heaven that you want to have a personal relationship, that the Father in heaven, that we know is the creator of heaven and earth, that he holds our future in his hand, that we can trust him, that we can respect him, and he has the authority and the power in our life. And so as we continue to pray, we pray that his will, Father's will be done on earth. Not your will, not my will, but the Father's will be done on earth. And we pray for provision. We pray for pardon. We pray for protection. But this is not just a once-off prayer. If you continue to read through Luke chapter 11, that Jesus is reminding the disciples that he has to be an open and continual dialogue. It's just not a one-off. I pray that God, I want this pair of Adidas shoes. When you get it, done. No more communication. No, Jesus is saying that you want to continue. Continue to pray. Continue to ask. And in verse 9 and verse 10, Jesus is telling us, so I say to you, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. So God desires to have this open and continual dialogue between us and him. For some of you, for some of us, we could be in a difficult situation. There's a lot of doubt. Hey God, are you really there? Are you answering my prayer? God, I've been praying to you for deliverance. Do not lose heart. Because today God is telling you, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. And you will receive, and you will find, and the doors will be open for you. So God is asking us that we need to continue to be in dialogue with him. But not only that, not only that Jesus have taught us how to have this open and continual dialogue, not only Jesus have reminded us that it is the Father that we are praying to and what to pray for, but Jesus also say that is more, because we serve a Father of how much more. And we'll continue to read on to the last verse. Jesus is telling them, reminding them that if you then, being evil, which is the father of this earth, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to give us this gift that will help us when we don't know how to pray. Because you see, if I fast forward to Luke chapter 24, in verse 50, Jesus was with his disciple and Jesus was praying for them, lifting his hand and blessed them. While he was doing that, Jesus left them and was taken up into heaven. But before Jesus left them, he already reminded them. He said, listen carefully. I am sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit. But you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed or fully equipped with the power from on high. So that is exchange happened. Jesus was taken up to the dwelling place of God in heaven. But in exchange, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit, our helper, our advocate, our paracletos, to come to walk alongside us, to be in us, to be with us. And Paul reminded us in Romans chapter 8, he said, the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit will help us when we do not know what we ought to pray for. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, will intercede for us through wordless groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So when we have the Holy Spirit teaching us how to pray, when we have Holy Spirit walking with us in our prayer life, that we will pray according with the will of the Father, which is what Jesus is telling us to pray, that his will be done. So not only Jesus has taught us how to pray, not only Jesus is reminding us that we need to talk to God, that we need to listen to God, we need to build a relationship with God, but he also sent the Holy Spirit to help us now, today, to help us in our prayer life. So this is how Jesus is reminding all the disciples that when you come to him, pray to the Father, build up the relationship, pray for your needs, pray for your pardon, pray for your protection, and most importantly, pray that God's will be done on this earth. Now back to my shoes that I pray for. I pray for the shoes. I was so happy when I got it. I was wearing it. I was proud. I was just enjoying the shoe. And in Malaysia, usually when you go into your house, you will need to remove your shoes to walk in. So one day I removed my shoes, I put it outside, I walk into my friend's place, and to my disappointment, when I come out, the shoe is stolen. It's gone. It was stolen. I was so sad. Similarly, a lot of things that we pray for, the material things that we pray for, are not permanent. You could be praying for this pair of shoes for this for this nice car, for this house that you want. But one day, you will lose interest with all the material things, all the ones that we pray for. So that's why it's so important we know that we pray for our needs and God will provide a lot of our wants. Today, if you ask me, what do I pray for now? Yes, I still pray for all my needs. I still pray for my pardon. I still pray for protection. Myself, my family, and my neighbors, I still pray for that. But more importantly for myself, today when I pray the prayer of Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He said that I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you, may grant me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that give me and give you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of Jesus. So today my prayer is that I continue to pray, that I want more of you, God. I want to have more of the giver rather than just praying for the gifts. So today, brother and sister, as we have seen how Jesus have taught the disciples to pray, and we are his disciples, that we want to remember at the end of the day when we pray, we want to pray to have a deep relationship with the giver, which is God. So tonight, before we end, I would like to pray. I would like to thank Jesus, thank God. They have gathered us together as a family, as an outpost of the kingdom of heaven in Karawara, in the place that he has placed us. Then we pray that his will be done in the church, that his will be done in Karawara, that his joy, his love, his peace will manifest tangibly in this place. And I pray for some of us that are going through difficult time, that are going through attacks of the enemy, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll be lifted up and may the will of God be done in your life. And I pray for every single one of us that just as how Paul has prayed, that God, you will grant us a spirit of wisdom. You will grant us a spirit of revelation, that we will have a deep, personal, and intimate relationship to know you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. We thank you for your teaching. We thank you that you have taught us how to pray, and you have given us the Holy Spirit to help us now to pray. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Karawara message. Have a blessed week.